What will Bernanke say this time?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. What a difference a year makes. When financial executives gathered at this time last year in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, the head of the Federal Reserve declared that it wasn't the central bank's job to protect banks or investors for their bad decisions. The Fed's annual symposium is getting underway in the shadow of the Grand Tetons today, and Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports the landscape looks a lot different.
The three-day conference reflects the new activist Fed. Its theme, maintaining stability in a changing financial system.
A year ago, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said the Federal Reserve was not there to bail out banks. Well, in the last year, that's exactly what the Fed and Treasury have done.
That's economist Peter Morici at the University of Maryland. Since the last conference, the Fed has engineered the fire sale of Bear Stearns. It shored up Fannie and Freddie. It handed out hundreds of billions in loans to reeling banks.
The Fed has assumed a new role, lender of last resort for banks that engage in irresponsible loans. It's loaned the banks far too much money without any conditionality, and now the Fed may be stuck with letting them keep it forever.
Morici says the Fed didn't force banks to improve their business practices as a condition of the loans. As a consequence, credit remains tight, and the housing crisis drags on. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
When Mr. Bernanke talks on the topic of financial stability tomorrow, Wall Street will no doubt be listening. And investors could sure use a little financial stability when it comes to speculation over whether the government will need to save Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. There's still no end to nagging worries over whether stock in those mortgage giants will end up being worth anything at all. Those shares plunged more than 20% yesterday, and at this hour, Fannie shares are off another 10%. Freddie stock is down more than 13%. The overall market's dragging, too. The Dow has lost 85 points, or 0.75%, right out of the gate. The Nasdaq's down 0.8%. The S&P 500 has shaved off 0.5%. Could it be game over for Nintendo? A Maryland tech firm is trying to stop the sale of Nintendo's top-selling Wii game console in the United States. Hillcrest Laboratories claims it holds the patent for motion-sensing controllers. Those interfaces are key to the Wii system. They allow players to mimic boxers, play tennis, or go bowling, generally interact with the game. The Wall Street Journal reports Hillcrest filed a complaint with the U.S. International Trade Commission asking for a halt to imports of the Wii into the U.S. It's also suing in federal court. You're listening to the Morning Report for Thursday, the 21st of August at Marketplace.org. The world's airlines are still being slammed by high fuel costs, and they keep looking for new ways to make money. American Airlines just rolled out internet service on some of its planes. For about $13, passengers can surf to their heart's content. But it's going to take a lot more than a mouse click to help the airline industry. The International Air Transport Association, or IATA, says the global aviation industry is likely to lose more than $6 billion this year. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
26 airlines around the world went out of business or into bankruptcy protection in the first half of this year. That's a higher rate of failure than in the aftermath of 9/11. IATA is bracing itself for more trouble. A further dozen carriers are thought to be on the brink of going bust. All regions are under pressure. Even China and India are seeing a slowdown. IATA's spokesman, Lorne Riley.
What we have is a perfect storm. Rising record-level oil prices and a global economic slowdown that is slowing traffic growth. Together, it spells a gloomy picture for airlines around the world.
IATA says there is a way out of the crisis. More carriers should be allowed to merge, an argument that many governments and regulators are resisting. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Airlines aren't the only ones scrimping. Shoppers are watching their pennies as well. Sales are down at luxury stores like Saks Fifth Avenue, but discounters' earnings are up. As Nancy Marshall Genzer reports, this season, less really is more.
Even hipsters are being squeezed by high gas and food prices, so they have less to spend on clothes. They're telling luxury retailers to take a hike, leaving a lot of sad sacks behind. Nordstrom isn't doing too well either. MKM Partners analyst Patrick McKeever says people still want top brands, but at a discount.
People understand understand that prices are going to be significantly cheaper at TJ Maxx than they will be at Macy's.
McKeever says Ross and TJ Maxx offer the same brands department stores have at discounts of 20% to 60%. Saks and Nordstrom are reporting lower sales. Retail Metrics President Ken Perkins says that's because even the rich are hurting.
We've seen a significant number of layoffs on the street, and you know the stock market's been really volatile.
But don't feel too sorry for Saks and Nordstrom. Perkins says high-end consumers tend to recover from tough times faster than the rest of us. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Members of Congress are not allowed to use money in their campaign accounts to cover personal expenses. One senator recently asked the Federal Election Commission if he could use his campaign account to pay legal expenses related to a sex case. Without getting too personal, is that a personal expense? Marketplace's Steve Henn takes a look.
For years, politicians have grown accustomed to using campaign accounts as personal legal defense funds. Former congressman turned convict Randy Duke Cunningham used his to pay legal bills in a bribery trial. Larry Craig used his to defend himself in the wake of his arrest in a Minneapolis airport.
Well, that seems, in fact, quite personal.
Melanie Sloan founded the watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington.
The FEC has been slowly over past years expanding the circumstances under which a member of Congress can use campaign funds for legal counsel.
But apparently there are limits. Attorneys at the FEC just recommended Senator David Vitter not be allowed to use campaign cash to pay more than $100,000 in legal bills he incurred while attempting to avoid testifying as a witness in a prostitution trial. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Rebounding oil prices are rekindling worries about inflation. The price of crude is back above $116 a barrel. And still, our economics editor Chris Farrell is holding out hope that the cost of living will remain in check. What he's most worried about now is paycheck deflation. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. So I had to get you back here to follow up on something we chatted about a month ago. Let me remind you that you said you weren't so sure we needed to worry a lot about inflation. Well, this week we've got wholesale inflation jumping at the fastest pace in 27 years. So what do you say, Chris? Are you having nasty flashbacks to the 80s, or do you stand by that earlier assessment?
Oh, I stand by that earlier assessment. Now, it's a scary number, but we live in a service sector economy. Guess what service sector inflation has been running? 0.4%. It's down from a year ago, it was running 1.5%. So what you're really seeing is the impact of higher energy and food prices. But if you look at the two things that really matter, service sector inflation, it's down. And by the way, wages, they're also down.
Okay, look, after we spoke a month ago, we got some pretty strong reactions posted on our website. Let me
read you just a little bit
of a few of them here. If you take out food and energy costs, you still have 2.4% inflation. Meanwhile, the average pay increase is 3.4%, and most people still like the occasional bite to eat and a warm place to sleep between shifts. I think I read that as sarcasm, Chris.
I think it is. And this is one of those things where you take the headline inflation, consumer price inflation, and you take out food and energy. And if you're an American, what else is there?
What I think I heard you saying just a moment ago, though, is that maybe the emphasis shouldn't be on inflation so much, but on wages.
It should be on wages. That same report. Why aren't people worrying about the decline in wages? That is the biggest decline since 1990. So what's happening to people is that they have less money at the end of the month. They're not getting wage increases. Their health care costs are going up. That's not inflation. That just means their budgets are shrinking.
Aren't you goring your own ox here, though, by suggesting that wages should go up? That's just going to promote inflation, right?
Well, what I'm hoping is that I'm right on inflation, because if I am right on inflation and we get continued decline in some commodity prices, a little bit of relief there, then hopefully wages adjusted for inflation start to grow again. And all these cries that the Fed has been weak-kneed in the face of inflation and hasn't taken the tough action, that's wrong. It is really wrong.
Our economics editor, Chris Farrell, arguing for the best of all worlds here. Thank you, Chris.
I try.
And I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. We invite your thoughts at marketplace.org. Glad to have you with us this morning.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.